Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
Would you bow with me, please, as we pray together before our lesson? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto Thee for this day. Father, we're mindful of all those who have special needs, those who are sick, those who are very seriously ill in the hospitals, and we pray, Father, if it be Thy will, that they can be restored to their health. We pray for their families during this time of distress. We pray that You would comfort them and care for them, help them in this time of need. And Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. We know that some have been mentioned today, and there are perhaps others. We pray that You would bless them and care for them and comfort them as Thou alone can. Continue to be with us, Father, as Thy people. Help us that we might always truly strive to be what You would have us to be and in accordance to Thy will. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have so many things to be thankful for. We sometimes fail to be thankful for the things that we ought to be thankful for. The Bible makes it clear that thankfulness is one attitude and action that every child of God is required and expected to have. The word, in fact, is used, the word thanks or thankfulness or thankful or thanked or thanksgiving is used over 140 times in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament, the word thanks in these various forms occurs very, very frequently, and especially with regard to the Psalms. The New Testament also demands that God's people be thankful. In thinking about this lesson, I first wondered whether I ought to have a whole lesson centered around thankfulness. I thought that until I began to study for it. And then I noticed how frequently God expects, demands, requires, and speaks of men giving thanks to Him for various things. For instance, we find in the Psalms some 30 times the request or the expression or the demand for giving thanks. For instance, the psalmist says in Psalm 92 and verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto Jehovah and to sing praises unto His name of the Most High." Now look at 107, Psalms 107, verse 1 to 3. "I give thanks unto Jehovah, for He is good, for His loving kindness endureth forever. Let the redeemed of Jehovah say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of adversity, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." And look at verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for His loving kindness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing of the soul, and the hungry soul He filleth with good." In verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for His loving kindness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." In verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for His loving kindness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His words or His works with singing." And then in Psalm 118, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness endureth forever." And also verse 29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, His loving kindness endureth forever." In fact, there's one whole psalm, if you look at it, Psalm 136, that is centered around this idea of giving thanks. "Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for He is good, for His loving kindness endureth forever." And then the next two verses, the same expression, and then closes out in verse 26. "After a great long list of things enumerated for which men ought to give thanks, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His loving kindness endureth forever." The Bible very plainly teaches then that men ought to give thanks, and we ought to enumerate them and list them and think about them and give thanks unto God for the great blessings that He's given to us. The idea of giving thanks also occurs frequently in the New Testament. It occurs perhaps most frequently in Paul's letters for various means, but always an expression of thanksgiving unto God. And then he lists the things for which he's thankful. I asked Randall to read today these three passages of Scripture because they contain these phrases. Be ye thankful, Colossians 3, verse 15. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And also in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Now I want to take the time today to talk about some things for which we ought to be thankful. I may be jumping the gun a little bit about thanksgiving, but thanksgiving is a thing that we ought to be doing all the time and not just one time a year. First of all today, we ought to be thankful for the meeting that we just had. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3 beginning, he wrote with regard to their support of him and their support of the preaching of the gospel. He says, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine on behalf of you, making my supplication with joy for your fellowship in furtherance of the gospel from the first day even unto now. Fellowship of the furtherance of the gospel was the support of the preaching of the gospel. In some ways it was physical support, in other ways it was moral support. But he thanked God for their support of the preaching and the furtherance of the gospel. And we ought to thank God for the furtherance of the gospel and the support of this congregation in this good meeting that we had. 404 on Monday night, or 403, 444 on Tuesday night, and 534 on Wednesday. I believe that Central took this meeting seriously. You took it seriously. You came, you invited, you brought, you sang, and didn't say do a good job leading the singing for us. And the singing, I thought, was just great. You were enthusiastic and friendly, and I don't know how many people I had walk up to me and say, this is one of the finest meetings we've had. The atmosphere is so nice. People are so friendly. Visitors who commented on that. People from out of town. Now, I think that's good. And I tell you what, I thank God for it. Because it could have been the other way, couldn't it? It could have been 200 every night. It could have been a negative, pessimistic attitude and feeling in this congregation, but it wasn't. And I thank God that it wasn't. The other congregations in Warren County supported our efforts. They repaid us for some of your efforts to support their efforts. They follow the golden rule. The golden rule works. You treat other people like you want to be treated. When we support other people's meetings, they in turn support our meetings because we have indicated an interest in them, and they therefore return in kind. Our fellowship meals were just excellent. I'm so glad that we were able to plan that and get that organized and that the ladies did such a good job in organizing it and taking care of it for us and seeing after the tables and seeing after the plates and seeing after the cleanup and all of those things that go in to a good fellowship meal. And it takes a lot of work. It's not something that just happens. Somebody has to do it. And I'm thankful for those ladies who did do the work. Polly Woodley's already been mentioned about the beautiful flowers that we had each night and so forth, all of which made everything more pleasant and enjoyable. Our workers that worked down during the fellowship meals themselves for each class just did a wonderful job, and I appreciate it so much. And I think we ought to be thankful for those who are willing to work in that way. I'm thankful for the attendance. Someone estimated we had about 175 there on Monday night, about 100 and between 125 and 150 on Tuesday night, and the same number on Wednesday night. Well, that's just wonderful. You just can't hardly ask for better than that. And I want to thank God for that. Don't you? I feel sorry for those who weren't able to come. And I know there were some who weren't able to come. I've had some people say, I wish I could have come to the meeting. Wish I could have come, but I couldn't. Well, I feel sorry because I think you missed something great. I'm thankful to God for a successful 3-day meeting. And if you haven't said, Lord, thank you for allowing us to have a good effort like this, to let the community know in a good way that this congregation supports the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And we want our friends and neighbors to know it. And we want McMinnville to know it. And I'm thankful to God that I think we showed it. Now, secondly today, we need to be thankful for the central congregation. Paul frequently expressed his thankfulness for the brethren to God. In fact, if you read, if you'll get your concordance, or if you just read each one of them if you want to, you'll get your concordance and look, you'll find that Paul thanked expressly every congregation and every person that he wrote, except you don't find the word in Galatians or Titus. Now, I don't know why. The idea is there, but the word is not. But the word itself occurs. I thank my God daily for you. And I want you to notice that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says that same thing. I thank my God for you. And yet, he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. It'll make it. But I want you to notice the kind of people that Paul gave thanks for at Corinth. Have you studied the 1 Corinthians lately? You notice all the problems they had, all the people that were not doing as they ought to do, not living the way they ought to live, all they had hypocrites in there. But I want to tell you, Paul said, I thank God for you. You don't tell me, you can't tell me that God wants people to quit because there happens to be a hypocrite. Not so. God gave thanks for that congregation because the majority of that congregation wanted to do what's right in spite of the hypocrites, in spite of the sin, and in spite of the problems. And he had that attitude and idea, and he wrote with that regard. I thank God for Corinthian church. Well, I thank God for Central. Oh, we got our problems. I'm not fool enough to believe we don't. But I don't know any group of people, any place, and any kind of organization that doesn't have some problems. Because people are people. And humans are humans. And the last time I checked, I was. And I believe if you'll look in the mirror, you'll find out you are. So let's not become discouraged and pessimistic simply because not everybody is doing everything we think they ought to do. But remember to give God thanks for the congregation here. Now, Paul did that. We have more going for us than we do against us. I'm convinced of that. As you look at the letter written to the Colossian Christians, he writes with regard to their characteristics and some things that he mentions about them, I think we can say about Central. Look at Colossians 1, verse 3 through 6. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have toward all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, even as it also in all the world bearing fruit and increasing, as it doth in you also, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Now look at that. They had faith, they had love, they had hope, they had truth, they had the gospel, they had the grace of God. Do we have those things? I say we do. I say that this congregation manifests faith. It manifests love, it manifests hope, it manifests truth to the world, it manifests the gospel, it manifests God's grace. And I thank God for it. Well, there are many places that talk about it. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, well, he makes another statement that I think is characteristic of the church here. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, he says, and for this cause we also thank God without ceasing. Notice that. We thank God without ceasing. Why, Paul? That when you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also worketh in you that believe. I've mentioned several times in my little reflections in the bulletin my appreciation for the fact that the congregation here accepts the truth of God when it's preached. You're receptive to it. Now, you may not always do it, by the way, but you're receptive to it. And I thank God for that. Now, there may be a few that aren't, but I think, generally speaking, we can thank God for the receptivity of the central congregation for the truth of God. As long as it's preached, it's truth, and it's preached in love, I believe this congregation accepts it. I'm thankful to the central congregation for the building we have. Aren't you? Listen, I've been so many places where we had such a lesser amount and lesser beauty in our building, our facilities, than this congregation, than I appreciated. You know what happens? We get too close to the situation sometimes, just like some of you old rascal of a husband. You get so close, you know, to having your wife, you take her for granted and don't appreciate the beautiful thing you have. That's the truth. And some of you never tell her so, and never compliment her, never appreciate her, and so forth. That's the truth. Now, wives, you can do the same thing to your husbands, can't you? We get so used to take for granted everything and everything that we have that we don't ever stop to take the time to say thank you, appreciate you, love you, and so forth. And the same thing is true with us. Brethren, listen, we don't have any reason to be unthankful or negative or pessimistic about our facilities. Why, this is one of the most beautiful buildings that there is around, period. We have great classroom space. We have good office space. We have everything is going our way in that capacity. We need to wake up. You're just too used to things. Wake up and look around and say, thank God for a place we can come to worship. And it's such a wonderful place. We have great Bible school teachers. We need to thank God for our program of teaching children. Sometimes, you know, when you have to get up and you have to say, teachers, you need to do this, you need to do that, sometimes they get the idea we don't really appreciate them. That's just not true. Thank God for good Bible school teachers. They'll take the time and the effort and energy and sweat to do the job and do it right. And we've got some good ones. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul said, I thank God that through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but the central congregation is known throughout the brotherhood for their faith and involvement in working for the Lord. Did you know that? All right, I'm afraid to almost say that with a doctor of optometry sitting here, but anyhow, we get so narrow in our view that we can't even see what great things that the Central Church has done. I don't know what that's called, Doc, but it's that, you know, when they get so narrow, tunnel vision or something, but you can't see, you know. We get so pessimistic and so narrow in our purview of things that we forget that this church is a great congregation and known so throughout the brotherhood. We need to say, thank God that I'm a member of Central. And we have a good program of work, and we're actively involved in carrying the gospel to the world and this community and other communities. Thank God that I'm a member at Central and not someplace else where they have no concern and no care and no program and not known for faith. So what are you getting so excited about? Well, it's exciting to think about the good things that have been done by this church and can be done and will be done or being done by this church. I'm thankful for our leadership. Paul thanked God for leaders in the Lord's church. We need to be thankful for the leaders that we have. So many congregations do not have any. So many congregations have reprobates. And that's a shame that would ever happen, but it does. Notice this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, Paul says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them exceedingly highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, and I think he's talking to the elders here, We exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. See that none render unto anyone evil for evil, but always follow after that which is good, one toward another and toward all. And listen, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that's in the context of the leadership. Give God thanks for leadership. Now, thirdly, we need to be thankful for our personal blessings. I challenge you to go home today. I've done this before, but I challenge you again. Go home today and make your list. Take a big old long legal size piece of paper and draw a line down the middle of it and put blessings and problems. And enumerate them and see if your personal blessings don't come out on top. James chapter 1 and verse 17, James says that every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. We ought to be thankful for the physical blessings that we have. Life. You're alive. The health that enables you to be here. There are so many people that are not here because they can't come. Your ability that God has given you to serve Him. You need to thank God for those things. You need to thank God for your family. Have you done so lately? For what you have as a family. And especially if you have healthy children and if you have a good, faithful wife or a husband. There are so many people who don't, whose children are not healthy or not well. You need to be thankful for what you have, for your home. You need to be thankful for the physical necessities of life. Jesus teaches that we ought to be thankful and thank God for all of the things that we have. Do you? How long has it been since you just said, Lord, thank you for food? When I think about that, then to think about the multitudes of thousands and thousands of people who are literally starving today for the lack of food in Cambodia. I can't help but be thankful. Our country's freedoms. You know, Paul urged that we be thankful for our country, whatever country we're in. We need to be thankful for the freedom of being here today. And I'll tell you what, if we don't start in our country appreciating and demonstrating the freedoms that we have and expressing appreciation of thanks to God for the freedoms that we have, we may not have them. How would you like to have to meet at night in secret to even worship God? In some countries in our world, that's exactly the only way you can worship. We need to thank God that we have a country that allows us to come together to worship God according to the dictates of the New Testament. We need to have honor to whom honor, custom to whom custom, tribute to whom tribute. Romans 13, verse 7. Now, I tell you, I noticed the other night, and I want to say this to our young people. I want them to listen real close. Young people, it's not too difficult a thing to show respect to the emblem of our country and listen with respect to the playing of the national anthem at any public function. Now, that's not too much to ask for the blessing that you have of the freedom of this country. You've gotten so close and so used to it, you've never been born anyplace else. Neither have I. And I thank God I wasn't born in Russia or China or Cambodia. I thank God that I'm an American and I'm a member of the United States. And I'm a citizen of this country. And if you have failed to recognize the significance of that, I urge upon you that you think seriously about it and thank God for it and show some respect when our country is honored. Oh, yes, we've got some problems. We've had some problems. We've had some terrible leadership and all that kind of thing. But I want to tell you, even with all the problems, it's still the best country in the world. There is none better. There is none that provides us with what we have and what we experience as blessings the way that our country does. And I urge upon you, if you are not, if you don't know that it's the good thing for you to do to stand at attention and put your hand over your heart, then let me give you a little military instruction and a little instruction on patriotism. It doesn't hurt. It shows that at least you care and show respect as God intended for us to do. Let me urge that you do it. You set the example. Maybe you can rub off on some others. And also, we need to thank God for spiritual blessings. What wonderful blessings we have. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of these. But it would do you well to just study the thanks that Paul gives and others give in the New Testament for what God has done for them in a spiritual way. Paul would say, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Thanks be unto God for the triumph that we have in Christ Jesus. Thanks be unto God for His matchless, unmatchless grace and love. What wonderful blessings we have in Christ Jesus. A living hope. A hope to live now and a hope to live that causes us to live toward the final reward of heaven. What great spiritual blessings we have. Do you appreciate the blessings you have in Christ Jesus? I fear that many do not because of the way they live, because of the fruits of their lives. You know, it's hard to really appreciate the Lord and then treat Him like someone you hate. I don't understand how we can have appreciation and thanksgiving in our hearts for the spiritual blessings we have in Christ and then treat Him like He meant absolutely nothing to us. Crucify Him afresh and put Him to an open chain. I urge upon you today that you think about the spiritual blessings you have in Christ Jesus. My friends, if you don't have any spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, it's your fault. It's not the Lord's fault. It's not God's fault. God loved and sent and Jesus loved and came. It's not His fault. It's your fault. And I urge upon you today that you accept the blessings that God has made available in Christ Jesus through faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ, and that you, if you've gone astray and you no longer have appreciation for what you are and what you the name that you wear, that you renew your relationship to God, that you repent today, that you demonstrate that repentance by coming forward and saying, I'm sorry. God, help me, but please forgive me. I'm sorry for living out of harmony with the great blessings that I have in Christ Jesus. Will you not come today while we stand and while we sing?